And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Yeah, making it cool to be a conservative as we save the world one soundbite at a time. What was that text you were going to read from John? You said a minute ago.
So he said Brian from Huntsville is now officially in the running for today's winner. So that was John from Huntsville.
Good. All right. Good deal. All right. Hey, listen, third dipper of the day. Here I go. I'm calling it fossil fuel fallacies. Fossil fuel fallacies. So the Biden administration is doing really exactly what Joe Biden said he would do when he ran. I got to say, he's trying to keep his campaign promises on this one, that he would put an end to fossil fuels. That's where we are right now. If you notice, by the way, that the price of the pump is going up, you know why that is? Because OPEC and Russia have both cut back on production. And when the worldwide market sees a downtrend in available supply, guess what? Prices go up. And when there's nobody else to compete with OPEC and Russia, and Venezuela, what do you have? You have price increases at their, and we're at their mercy. So we are not energy independent right now. You would think that if you were looking at this from a purely objective standpoint, you would think that the way to go on this is to make sure that America's interests are addressed and that the people of the United States know that everything is being done to bring the price down at the pump. No. In fact, I would dare say that what they really want is the price to go up at the pump to reduce the amount of time that you'll drive. Never mind if you have a commute to work. Never mind if you're heating your house in the upcoming winter. Never mind if it costs more to run the emergency services vehicles that take care of your city, like ambulances and fire trucks and police cars. Never mind if there is no public transportation where you live, or if, you know, you run a farm and have all the equipment that runs on fossil fuels. Doesn't matter. None of that matters. What matters is that we push people towards a net zero emissions solution. And it's getting to the point that it is no longer even considered to be something that is just a partisan issue. It's now bipartisan that people are hating it. Story came out last night that was confirmed this morning. Joe Biden's knockout punch for the American energy independence. Story on the Daily Signal. I could have picked any number of places to pull the story from, but it says, just last month, President Joe Biden took a major swipe at America's energy independence when he declared nearly 1 million acres of uranium-rich land outside of the Grand Canyon National Park off-limits to energy development. Turns out that was only the setup jab, it says. The knockout punch is on the way. According to reports, Biden wants to cancel drilling leases in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, or ANWR, which would deny Americans access to around 11 billion barrels of oil, though it could be more than that. That was confirmed this morning when the Biden administration admitted that, yes, they are placing a moratorium and they're canceling existing leases. In fact, here's the thing. I'll pull up this next article from Daily Caller. Daily Caller points out the Biden administration is not just saying don't go drill there. They're actually canceling drilling leases that were already in place. In other words, if you're an energy company and you had assumed one of those leases and you had begun making the investments necessary to get up there and drill, you're out of luck because the Department of the Interior is now going to invalidate the leases the Trump administration sold back in January of 2021. Bloomberg News is reporting and citing unnamed sources of the Biden administration familiar with the matter. Listen, this is ridiculous. And when you look at the full extent of this, I mean, that industry up there, it supports nearly 50,000 Alaskan jobs. 50,000. By the way, Alaska is not a heavily populated state. 50,000 jobs is huge. It accounted for 35% of that state economy at $19.4 billion. It generally provides nearly 90% of the Alaskan government's general fund. Their state budget is built on these oil and gas leases. Puts over $180 billion in the state coffers since Alaska became a state in 1959. Opening up ANWR is going to create more jobs, more revenue, but also has a real impact on the rest of the country. Some estimates are that up to 77,000 jobs would be created nationwide if the drilling in Anwar were allowed to continue. But it's not. Why? Because it is so important that we shut down the oil and gas industry that Biden could care less about whether or not there were already oil and gas leases in place, and he could care less about whether or not it is going to be good for the economy. That's not the point. We have to go ahead and suck it up. We have to go ahead and make the sacrifices. We have to go ahead and recognize that the greater good is at stake. Meanwhile, the rest of the world runs rings around us because they've got the ability to drill and develop. And by the way, it can be done responsibly. Nobody does more to control emissions than the United States. Nobody. And the size of the spot they're talking about in the Anwar, it's not like they're controlling all of the Anwar. No. The Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, we're talking about several thousand acres is what we're talking about. And we're going to shut it down. Not only shut it down, we're going to remove what was allowed. Well, I got more of that. How about the offshore wind industry? How about what is Pete Buttigieg saying about your car? How about what's the Biden era's plan for transporting fossil fuels by train? That just changed. What's that going to do? And by the way, did you know that right off our coast, we may start having wind farms? Never mind the fact that wind farms are going out of business in other places. I got more on this. It's a fossil fuel fallacy at every turn. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. I mean, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That's this one, Alabama. Argue with me about it. I guarantee you I'll win. I'm just telling you, this show, we send our signal like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. So I am in number three of the Triple Dipper. It's been a great show. Lots of good content. The fossil fuel fallacies that we are subject to on a regular basis. Pete Buttigieg is part of the problem. I mean, Mayor Pete, what was his qualification to be head of the Department of Transportation, by the way? I don't recall there being any significant contributions to transportation sector at all. But Mayor Pete is now the Secretary of the Department of Transportation. Story here from hotair.com says, everything has now changed. There's no better example of this than our supposed Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg adopting a position where Americans should be ushered away from owning their own cars. Ushered away from owning their own cars, be they gas or even electric. Everyone should be using public transportation as much as possible. Well, not everyone. Most certainly not you. This is a great article here, but Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, he appointed an Obama-era group made up of 24 so-called leading experts to help advise him on transportation equity. Oh, gee. Claiming that the privilege of owning a car ignites a systemic racism and should be banned because of its negative impacts on the environment. What? Okay. Members of the Advisory Committee on Transportation Equity include spatial policy. What is a spatial policy scholar? That's spatial, S-P-A-T-I-A-L, spatial. I've never heard of this. If you could Google spatial policy scholar, I'd appreciate it. Her name is Andrea Marpilero Colomina, who says all cars are bad and calls for zero emission transits. However, she did tell the Free Beacon that she is not advocating for a complete erasure of cars, just hopes to convince Buttigieg to redirect the U.S. away from relying upon private motor vehicles. Oh, in other words, they don't want to get rid of all cars, just your cars, your private cars. They won't be getting rid of planes because they still need their jets, just your planes. And important people like John Kerry and all can still fly around. This is where we are. But Petey's not done. Mayor Pete, I mean, he's the Secretary of the Department of Transportation, don't you know? He's got a job to do. He's going to do it. And so he recently oversaw the repeal of a Trump-era regulation that allowed for the transportation of liquid natural gas via trains, rail. Rail transport is cheap and efficient, and it gets things to places it needs to go. In a federal filing Friday, this story, by the way, on Fox News came out 2 days ago. This past Friday, right ahead of the Labor Day weekend, the Department of Transportation's Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration, God, there's an administration for everything, formally suspended the 2020 authorization of LNG transportation, that's liquefied natural gas, in rail tank cars. The rule will take effect. The rule is considered temporary until a permanent rule is put in place in the next few months. According to the PHMSA, that's the DOT department, the rulemaking helps the federal government avoid potential risk to public health and environmental consequences, and including direct and indirect greenhouse gas emissions. So if you put it in a tanker truck, it's not environmentally friendly. Well, there were coalitions of environmental groups that fought the Trump administration's rule, took it to court, believed it was going to be bad for everybody. Never mind the fact that former Transportation Secretary Elaine Chao said that new safeguards had been put in place to take care of their concerns. The bottom line is this. Transporting LNG has a proven safety record, according to the article. With our country continuing to face rising energy costs, we should be incentivizing infrastructure. Ted Cruz came out and said, the ranking member of the Senate Commerce Committee, he himself, said that the action laced last week was the latest salvo in the Biden administration's war on energy. He said, quote, today the Biden administration fired another salvo in its war on American energy by essentially prohibiting the movement of LNG by rail. America's a leader in reducing carbon emissions. The energy renaissance we are seeing in this country is producing enormous benefits. And LNG by rail, it gives people choices for energy that can't often get them because of geography. It's amazing. I mean, at every turn. Let's see, what's the next thing we can screw with in the fossil fuel wars? Oh, how about that? Tell you what, I'll take a phone call real quick. Jeff from Indiana. There's a guy who knows gas. How you doing, buddy?
Sometimes even have gas, Phil.
You know? Been stopping at Bucky's again, I see.
White Castle.
What's on your mind, brother?
Hey, you know, I did a little figuring a little bit ago there, and just to put things in perspective.
Yeah.
I just went to Priceville a while ago and put $400 worth of diesel in this thing.
Wow.
I'm hauling about 23 tons going from Alabama. Basically, stuff comes from Birmingham to Indiana and then, you know, return trip and everything. That's $17 a ton just for fuel.
Yeah.
For this to transport this stuff. That's not counting the cost of it. That's not counting my wages. Not counting the cost of the truck. Not counting the profit the trucking company's making. Everything considered, so they're not burning it. They're not melting metal with electricity because it's still higher than what it would be to do all that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how's that compare? And by the way, I think the guys who run rail would also say that they have some cost-effective means. But right now, what they're doing is driving the price through the roof by making it more difficult, and they've got nothing to replace it with. They talk about electric trucks, but that's not coming anytime soon.
No, and that's yeah. How would you? It's not coming for a very long time because I don't look. If you think about just how much battery it takes for a car, can you imagine how much battery it takes for a truck? It'd be astronomical, and plus you know the charging times and stuff. It's not practical. Ever.
No, it's not. I can't imagine what your day would be like because you're already on the road near daily from you know, sun up to sundown, taking this route.
Plus, yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. How many hours a day are you on the road to include your pickups and drop-offs?
I usually leave about 6 o'clock in the morning and get back about 7 o'clock at night.
Yeah. All right. So you got a 12 to 13 hour day on average. I mean, can you imagine what you would do if you had to add, you know, halfway through the trip, you had to stop for another 45-minute charge?
Well, I probably wouldn't have enough time in the day then, because we're only allowed 14 hours of work time, 11 hours of drive time, and so it probably wouldn't be very practical, wouldn't work out.
No,
but,
it's nuts.
But, you know, Phil, have you got a mirror in the studio there?
A mirror?
Yeah.
No, I don't often sit around the studio looking at myself, although we do have the live stream going. Why? What you got?
Well, when you was going through your monologue earlier in the show, you should have been looking in a mirror, because that's the man I see could be governor.
Yeah.
Oh, and
jeez. I'm serious.
Okay.
I'm serious.
Jeff, you've been huffing your diesel again, bud.
No, there's a Hoosier guy that I know that, you know, started out with a radio show, and then he become a congressman, then he become a governor, then he become a vice president.
Okay.
And you know, he's just about like the guy that I'm talking to right now. You know, there's a lot alike.
Okay, just a disclaimer here. I have not paid Jeff to call in and blow smoke up my skirt. But by the way, I'm not wearing a skirt either. There's that.
The only difference between you and Mike Pence is that you've got more of a personality than he does. He's pretty dry.
And my hair is still pretty dark.
yeah, exactly.
All right, brother. I love you. Be safe on the road, man. Take care.
Have a good one, Phil.
You too, man. You know what's funny is Jeff. Jeff's one of those guys, I feel like I know him. We know each other, and we've never met in person. It's this radio show.
Just the show.
I mean, there's all these folks that I feel like we know. You know what dawned on me the other day at Terry's Pizza?
Yeah.
Was the first time that I had actually seen Lee from Huntsville in person.
Oh, yeah, because she's really been here.
While I've been gone.
When you've been gone.
Yeah. I mean, it's just crazy. But we got all these personalities that I feel like are like a part of our life now that I don't, anyway. All right. We love you, Jeff. Thanks much. Hey, let me do this for the break. So the next part of the fossil fuel fallacies that we're in right now is how about wind? Yeah. They're breaking wind in the Biden administration on a regular basis. Do you get that? All right. So they're breaking wind on a regular basis. Biden-Harris administration, U.S. Department of the Interior press release, July 20th, the Department of the Interior announced it will hold the first ever offshore wind energy lease sales in the Gulf of Mexico. That's our waters, by the way. They're planning to deploy 30 gigawatts of offshore wind energy by 2030. It's going to be awesome. Today's announcement marks another historic step in the Biden-Harris administration's efforts to create a clean energy future, said Secretary Deb Haaland. Okay, fast forward. Here we are in September. Offshore wind industry, according to Daily Caller, facing massive headwinds as enthusiasm dwindles and losses mount. And it points out in this article, the Biden administration put three lease zones in the Gulf of Mexico up for sale in August. Of those three, two of them did not receive a single bid. Epic fail. Epic. But it's because people are beginning to recognize that the money that's being thrown at this by the government only goes so far. They can't maintain right now. The energy sector is not entirely viable. In other words, it can't stand on its own. What other business in the world is allowed to say, we're not really viable yet, but we're going to take some government money and pretend we are, and it's going to be awesome? That's what's happening. Story here from the Daily Caller says the U.S. offshore wind industry, key to President Biden's climate agenda, has struggled in recent months due to inflation, rising interest rates, and mounting supply chain difficulties. Despite receiving massive subsidies through the Inflation Reduction Act, Biden's signature climate bill, some firms have now had to pay large fines to get out of the deals they signed, while one company even saw its stock price tank because of impairments to its projects. And a guy told the Daily Caller, he said, it's amazing to watch politicians try to design a system that will work to replace one that we know works and which made us number one economy in the world. You got Ørsted, a Danish company, that just literally had to recalculate their anticipated value dropping it by $2.3 billion. Their stock plummeted the next day by 25%. You think? How about South Coast Wind, another company involved in offshore wind in off the coast of Massachusetts? They just paid $60 million in fines to be able to get out of deals they had signed up for that they now can't complete. They were considered unfinanceable. The most fundamental issue, says Kevin Deratna of the Senior Research Fellow for the Heritage Foundation, he says the most fundamental issue is that what the administration is trying to do is artificially get the wind industry going when it's not ready yet. When you try to do that, things cost more and they keep getting even more expensive. So yeah, our Gulf of Mexico. Wow, awesome. We're going to have wind in the Gulf of Mexico. Meanwhile, at the same time, Fox News reported that an effort to appease environmental activists in the Gulf of Mexico, the Biden administration decided to restrict any further drilling for oil and gas. Huh. So we're shutting down oil and gas so we can build wind in the exact same place because, you know, one of them doesn't hurt whales, not at all. But at the same time, what we're seeing here is the industry that's being propped up by government can't sustain itself without government dollars. And the ones that have been making this the most viable economy in the world are being restricted. We'll talk about a little bit more of this when we get back from the break. In the meantime, y'all stay tuned because it's we're pushing go-home time on a Thursday afternoon. Listen, you're almost there. The weekend is coming. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, I got to tell you guys, ZLA Solutions have been with us since day one, man, and they do an amazingly good job at helping businesses basically improve their capacity, their capabilities, their basically make their businesses better. I mean, ZLA works with big-name employer groups all over North Alabama and beyond, and they can do things like help you with your quality control, your sorting and containment, logistics, warehousing, all of that, but they also can come in and help you find people. So if you need folks, I'm talking about blue-collar, white-collar, or no-collar, it don't matter. One or two people with special niche, hard-to-find skills, or a whole shift, you just tell them. They can do the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing. And I know these folks personally. These are friends of mine. And I believe in who they are and what they do. ZLA Solutions. Here's their website. You ready? ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. That's ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. Hey, my friend Chris from Gadsden just texted a minute ago. Oh, darn it. Hang on, Chris. I got to find your text again. He just pointed out that I'm doing this. I'm finishing this dipper up, fossil fuel fallacies. I talked about how there are 50,000 jobs potentially in the Alaskan situation in Alaska that would be dependent upon the expansion of oil and gas. And Chris ran the numbers apparently and says 50,000 jobs in Alaska is equivalent to more than 3 million jobs in Alabama. Think about it. That's huge. Basically, what he's doing is looking at the pro rata share of the population, I guess. 50,000 jobs in Alaska is equivalent to more than 3 million jobs in Alabama. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it, man. Hey, listen, it's amazing to me, though, that the Biden administration has got this just total, you know, game on kind of attitude about crushing America's energy sector. Coal and gas and, you know, nuclear, you're bad. At the same time, according to Politico. Phil, you went to Politico? I did. Politico. Story from August 4th. The Biden administration is retreating from its promises to stop funding oil and gas projects overseas. What? Yes. Federal agencies have approved funding for proposals like renovations to an Indonesian oil refinery, shipments of natural gas to Poland, and sometimes doing so right over the top of the objections of Joe Biden's special climate envoy, John Kerry. The policy shift shows how fraught the global political situation is, and it just talks about the fact that basically the Biden administration is approving fossil projects left and right around the world, but won't approve them here at home. Crazy. I mean, should we expect any less? Last article I got, though, story on the Washington Examiner, is that the effort to push us towards net zero is seen as something that could actually destroy whole communities. A National Bureau of Economic Research paper, economists from the U.S. Federal Reserve Board and the Federal Reserve from San Francisco, said that significant risks exist for communities that historically built themselves around the fossil fuel industry. And they look at the Appalachian coal region as an example. In the Appalachian coal region, the war on coal developed high unemployment, credit scores fell, third-party collections increased, bankruptcy rates increased, and the negative effects were not just lost, confined to those people who lost their jobs. It was whole communities that suffered economic and social loss. And that if we pursue this route, there are some that believe that there are whole communities, once again, that will wind up seeing themselves crushed under the weight of the Biden administration's this never-ending stream of fossil fuel fallacies. All right, that's where we are. Major day. It was good stuff. I enjoyed this. This is a great show. I mean, it was full on.
It was a full show, great show.
Full of stuff.
For a Thursday.
For a Thursday.
That's right.
I like it. Friday Eve.
Friday Eve.
Coming up tomorrow, we got another good day planned for you. Y'all stay tuned. We got plenty on tap, and I'll just wait and see how that all pans out in the morning as I'm resourcing the show. But it'll be good. I guarantee you. In the meantime, just know this. We do this because of y'all. Ain't nothing better than an audience like this one. Bunch of right-side ruffians out there making a difference. Just remember, there's more of us than there are of them. That's the way it is. There's more of us than there are of them. Y'all have a great night. We'll see you tomorrow.